USA, 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 USA.
Okay, okay. You know, what does that even prove? Okay, you chant anything, people will join in. Canada, Canada, Canada. Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, 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 he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
Yeah, he beat like he stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown, touchdown, Clemson, Renzo, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast, really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle, I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Glad to have you with us. It is Out of Bounds. It is Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. 1 year ago today, we were talking about, well, maybe Clemson could win one of these. And then they did. I'm sorry, Georgia fans. What's the thing, 13,000 and blah, 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 blah days since they won one?
It's and a lot counting, of days. A
lot of days. I don't take great joy in the way Georgia won.
They didn't win.
But the way they blew the lead.
Don't confuse any hopeful Georgia fans who think they might have just had a really bad nightmare.
This is going to be a weird show because there's a lot I don't get. That was supposed to be an easy game that you break down in a simple way, and now it's on to ACC basketball. That's what was supposed to happen. And in fact, even though I would have had it wrong, it would have been easy. 13-0, halftime, Jalen Hurts, his throwaway to... By the way, can I just say, In the name of all good and righteous things, my Twitter game, I brought it for the Natty last night. It was championship level tweeting last night. And I'm not going to be humble about it, and hey. I'm not going to act like it didn't occur. I had some elite tweets last night, Kelly.
Sit down. Be humble.
Did you like the halftime?
Here's my thing, real quick. Kendrick was fine. He was good. I mean, I was bopping, as I do.
You are a bopper.
I'm a bopper.
More than anything else.
But here's my thing. He didn't play my favorite song of his, so I was a little disappointed.
Which song?
All Right song. I like that
one.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't have, an hour. It wasn't like Lady Gaga, where he had 40 minutes to get 15 songs in.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Kendrick, he always paints this picture. He's like, he's anti the system, right? He's his own guy.
Kind of.
He did a song that was in a movie, and it was all part of the promotion. And then they played the Black Panther trailer. They did the song that was in the movie. I was like, well, I don't know about this.
Look,
it's a little sellout-ish.
You know.
I hate to say that, but I'm just saying what I feel.
You know they didn't just go to Kendrick Lamar begging on hands and knees, please play the halftime. There was some give and take there, right?
Well, of course.
Like, they needed to play that song. It was part of the promotion of Black Panther.
As there always is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And probably that was a selling point for Black Panther, to get them to buy the $1 million or whatever it is for that commercial.
But again, even more of a Super Bowl vibe. When you're promoting movie trailers and having a halftime show in your college football national championship game.
This is not the story, but it needs to be said, and we need to just put the cards on the table. Sanders, you came in yesterday spitting some noise about how they pre-recorded that show and that they were going to play it on.
I was completely wrong.
Was it live last night?
It was live.
Okay, do you know it was live?
I do not know. There could be some conspiracy, but it looked pretty live.
Was he rapping live?
I mean, they did have his... They had his vocals, I think.
Some of it didn't feel live.
Kelly thinks he was lip syncing.
Just some of it. I don't know.
There were a lot of people that thought he was...
I don't know. But I kind of like how they had that show outside of the stadium, so you don't have to deal with it in there.
Yeah.
You know, because you have a game to play. But to have it right out, I mean, at Centennial Park, which is not exactly right next door to the stadium, but whatever. And I thought that... I liked that. That's interesting.
I was okay with it, too, because... you know, because you didn't have a mil. I've always thought, like, it's stupid to have, like, random Joe Schmuck fan, like, just chilling on the field when you're trying to play a game. And then the field needs to be good. Like, even if it's artificial turf, you're, like, kicking up all the little pebbles, the little beads in there. I don't like, don't disturb the playing surface, okay?
Don't disturb the field.
We don't have concerts at halftime of the Final Four National Championship game in basketball or NBA Finals Game 7. Because you don't want to scuff the floor.
Well, we do.
It's a big deal.
We do have Red Panda come. Or the Frisbee
Dogs.
That's
true. That's true.
All elite acts.
Is Red Panda coming to Clemson? More
Stay
on that
tuned.
In a little bit. Yeah.
Stay tuned,
oh, yeah. More
people.
On that coming
Stay
up later.
Stay tuned.
Heck yeah. But regardless of that, there is a clear demographic and age line for people who hated or loved that halftime show.
Oh, for sure.
And I'll just say, if you were enthralled by the off-tackle run, you probably didn't like it. If you really enjoyed the gritty nature of the first half, and you like football that's played in the box, and you don't understand why the shotgun's in vogue, then you really hated that halftime show. But if you were glad when Alabama's freshman quarterback came in slinging the pill, just tossing it all over the place.
Slinging the pill.
And you were excited when Jake Fromm never ran it and only passed it down the stretch of the game because you like passing and running is for losers and cowards and weenies and Andy Griffith, there's no reason in the world why anybody should run the ball anymore.
Why are you going to bring Andy into this?
I don't know.
He didn't ask for that.
A little Rascal Flash for you.
That game, Quack, you know how you were saying you thought it was going to be very much a rough and tumble slobber knocker, that thing? That game was exciting. The first half was rough.
Oh,
the first
man.
Half was tough to watch.
Give me a round of applause. I was on it. I had tweets in the drafts. I was ready. Punt, 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 field goal, punt, punt, punt. Oh, man, it was awesome.
And we were both right.
People then retweeted it.
Because you were right on the first half.
That's correct.
And then it got exciting.
I thought the game was terrible in the first half. Always the worst.
How could you predict that they were going to put in Tua? And can I say one thing about Tua?
Yeah.
First of all, really fun to watch. Can just throw the ball. He's going to be really fun to watch in the coming years. And we knew Tua was good.
Yeah.
We all knew this. We just didn't know he was going to get in the game. I mean,
down 13.
Right. To think they're just going to go with Tua in the second half is, I mean, Nick Saban does crazy things, but that's crazy. Here's my point.
Okay.
You're telling me Bama did not need their best quarterback for their entire regular season schedule?
That's the point.
What?
What I thought was fun is, remember all that noise people were saying about how Tua was going to play against Clemson? Oh, Alabama's planning on using two quarterbacks in this game. And they didn't, even when their offense sucked for 60 straight minutes.
Well, they
minutes.
Didn't need to because Clemson couldn't score.
Well, they didn't need to, but it wasn't because their offense was blowing Clemson's defense away. I think they just got to 300 yards against Clemson like just a few seconds ago.
Yeah, but the point is, I just think it's so... I mean, Nick Saban literally, he kept the best quarterback on his roster just sitting there for the whole season. And then just said, okay, second half, let's go. True freshman. And then the guy's unbelievable. I mean, he had some freshman moments, don't get me wrong, some sacks he shouldn't have taken. But regardless of that, he was incredible. And so this begs the question, why didn't he play against Auburn?
All right, let me ask this. It could have cost him against Auburn that he didn't play. Maybe he wasn't ready to play. Frankly, maybe he wasn't ready to play last night.
I mean, they didn't have 37 days to get him ready.
How do we know that? Well, did they get Tua ready?
I don't know.
We don't know diddly about this. Here's what I think. I think Nick Saban, the ultimate competitor, knew that he could still accomplish all of his goals with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And he knew it until halftime last night when he knew that keeping that guy in the game who had a positive throwaway to completion ratio, he's a real good throwaway guy. In fact, I should have tweeted out when Tua threw the interception that Jalen Hurts definitely would have thrown it away.
If
he's
Tua
really good
could
at it.
Adopt a few of those throwaways that Jalen Hurts has mastered, then Tua's going to be an
absolute
baller.
I'm
going
to tell you what, that guy is awesome at hitting a coach. That guy's awesome at throwing it to the sitting on the bench.
Don't talk about hitting a coach. That's a sensitive topic right now for a Bama fan.
He's incredible. By the way, man, on next week's episode of Criminal Minds, dude that almost bludgeoned a coach to death with a helmet killed four people in his, like in their home. And who was it? It was the guy who Saban let back in the game the next play and said he didn't know that it happened. When a guy went completely and totally crazy on the field. So crazy, in fact, that Tony Brown, who's a psychopath in the making, that guy who says everybody's lying in the world, I'm sure is hearing voices in his head. I'm sure President Trump would call him Crazy Tony, right? Crazy Tony is actually trying to be the voice of reason there and get the guy off the field. When Tony Brown is trying to massage the situation, when Tony Brown is trying to play peacemaker, that crazy psycho Tony Brown, then you know that you are really off the rails. Unbelievable. To me, that's when you know that guy's in a bad mental state. Honestly, this is terrible. This is awful. When they said the part about somebody collapsed on the sideline, I thought the guy had a break. I thought he had a complete emotional breakdown and like hyperventilated and passed out on the sideline. Because he was so outraged and was going after coaches and doing things that didn't make logical sense in the world we live in. And we're living in the upside down when a dude in the third quarter, your team's down 13 in the third quarter of a playoff game, and a coach brushes by you and says something, and you swing your helmet at him. What an idiot. And yet, he's back on kick coverage the next time out.
And he clotheslines the dude.
Because Saban, who's so meticulously involved in every detail of the game, just missed it, just didn't know. Didn't know that his players are trying to kill his coaches over there.
I don't know why I have this perception of Saban. And this is not going to be any sort of bash Saban show, because what the guy did last night is absolutely incredible. It just adds to the legend that is Nick Saban. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
This is the great thing about Saban, because people will try to make a story. And in fact, I think you want to make a story. And I'm going to push back on this a little bit. You want to make a story. Why did Tua not play the whole year?
A little bit, yeah.
All right.
Not the whole year, but at least... at some point in a game that was close, when Jalen Hurts is being Jalen Hurts.
I'm gonna push back and say that when Nick Saban told Tua he was going in a game, that he didn't know that Tua could convert in a game. That he wasn't sure. And in fact, the first couple drives proved it, because they went three and out and didn't look great, and then Tua threw the pick. And frankly, if Tua doesn't scramble for his life and run 100 yards to make 9 or whatever on that third down, I think the game's still over.
Look, you don't know that Tua does that. You don't know that Tua comes in, scores 23 points in the second half, and wins you the game. But you do know he's better than Jalen Hurts.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't know that they knew that. This is a different stage in a different game. What you can't, you don't put him in. Is Nick Saban a better coach than me?
Yes.
Is Nick Saban a better coach than you?
Yes.
Is Nick Saban a better coach than every person who's walking the planet right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Besides maybe Belichick.
So if Nick Saban thinks that Jalen Hurts has a better chance to win with Tua, do we really think that Nick Saban, the ultimate competitor, just sat on his secret weapon until the very last moment with full knowledge that he could go in and lead a... I think he had no other choice and he had to do it.
I agree. His back was against the wall, but I'm not sure that he believed... that starting Jalen Hurts gave him a better chance to win. I think Jalen Hurts was just who had got them there. He was adequate. He's your game manager. You're going to run the ball. You're going to get two pick sixes, and you're going to win the Alabama way. But if you pressed him on it, he probably would say, you know, if we have to win an offensive battle here, Tua probably gives us a better chance. He might make mistakes, but he's heads and tails more talented.
I think that is nuts so crazy town. I think Tony Brown and 48 need to go to therapy together.
Your boy Jalen in the first half was 3 of 8 for 21 yards.
With four throwaways.
He was atrocious. He was atrocious.
Really, he was really bad.
Alabama a better chance to win than Jalen Hurts.
This is what I'm going to say, though. Going into the game, who gives Alabama a better chance to win? Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa? Going into the, don't, nothing that we saw. Just
none of
what
it,
we know.
None of it, but that's the point is, if it's if you say Jalen Hurts, then you're just saying you don't need a quarterback to win. That's what you're saying.
Well, did how many games did Alabama win this
so
year?
So they have a really good chance to win with either of them.
Did they go 8-6?
But if you can't score in 20 minutes of foot, or in 40 minutes of football, or no, 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Grief. How long is football?
Game?
I'm already in basketball mode.
We're all doing math.
30
Tony
minutes
Brown,
of football.
We're
you
all
can't
Tony
score.
Brown.
I think it's pretty obvious who if you're going to rely on your quarterback, which Bama never does. So this was shocking in itself. Then Tua gives you a better chance because Tua can do things that Jalen Hurts cannot, and that was obvious last night.
All right, you're going into a national championship game. Are you telling me?
I'm not saying I would have started Tua.
Okay, are you telling me though that Nick Saban freely chose to put in a quarterback that he felt did not give his team the best chance to win?
Yes.
Nick's the greatest coach
no,
we've
okay,
ever
listen,
seen.
Listen.
Started
listen.
The lesser quarterback at the start of every game this
yes.
year, even though he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Tua was a better quarterback
he
and gave
started,
his team a better chance
listen,
to win.
He started,
this guy who, as Wallace said, would kill his mother to win a football game.
He started the lesser quarterback every week this year. But against the teams he played, it did not matter in terms of giving him a chance to win. He still had the same chance to win.
Florida State.
That's why I don't understand why we did not see Tua against Auburn. It's blowing my mind. I mean, if that guy can do that, which again, you don't know. You don't know, but
exactly.
You don't know what you don't know, Kwok.
Well, you also don't know.
You got
know.
To at least give him a shot if you're, I mean, Jalen Hurts, you know what you did know? Jalen Hurts was not going to beat Auburn. That was apparent in the second half. That was apparent. And that's exactly what he did last night. It was apparent that Jalen Hurts was not going to beat Georgia. So what did he do? He went to Tua. And I think part of him knew that it wasn't all on the line against Auburn. Not that Nick Saban could predict that the committee would get him in. But I think he understood that it wasn't all on the line if they lost to Auburn. He definitely understood.
Oh, he definitely knew that.
He definitely understood last night that it was all on the line if they lost to Georgia because it's the last game of the year. It's the last game of the year. You got to go with your best weapon that gives you a chance to win.
I am not saying that Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa. I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts is better at quarterback stuff than Tua Tagovailoa in Nick Saban's mind. All I'm saying is if you think that Nick Saban knew that Tua Tagovailoa gave him a better chance to win at the start of the game last night and at the start of every game this year and chose to play Jalen Hurts, then you're saying that Nick Saban basically played a game of Russian roulette with the season where at some point there's going to be a bullet in the holster. Now, that's kind of a graphic example. If there's kids
you're
listening,
going
I apologize.
So graphic this first segment.
That's what I'm saying. I am not willing to give Nick Saban that little credit. That he put his team in a worse position to win 15 times and only in the second half of the natty did he actually do what he felt in his heart was right. I think he knew that with Jalen Hurts, who started every game for 2 years and had only lost twice, that he was down and they were not going to score on Georgia with Hurts because he was not making the plays. And so he went with the only thing he could have done, not given choices. Jalen Hurts was no longer a choice. He didn't know how Tua would respond. He didn't think Tua would go score 26 at the end of the game and overcome a 13-point deficit. I'm not going to say that because if he thought that, then he would have played him at 0-0.
Of course, no one thought that was going to happen. That I think I agree with some of what you're saying, Kwok, but the
right.
point is he's not playing Jalen Hurts and giving his team less of a chance to win. The overall point here, the big picture, is that Bama's regular season schedule was so terrible that Jalen Hurts could win all those games. That's the point. They didn't even need Tua. They didn't need their best quarterback to beat the sorry schedule that they had in front of them. And that's why I'm so confused about the Auburn game. Because they needed something else, someone else to beat Auburn. And he didn't use it. So I don't know. I mean, in the end, it worked out fine for him. He won a natty. I mean, in the end, it worked out fine. And the way that we paint Nick Saban, we could pretend this was all, like, he planned the whole thing.
Now,
I mean,
I'm not giving
that
much credit.
He
we
goes
got
up,
that on the text
this.
Line, 986-156. It's a help
he goes up to
line.
Jalen Hurts at halftime last night. He goes, Jalen, you've done your job. You've served your purpose. You are the sacrificial lamb. You are done.
It did feel like he went
planned
to the
this the whole time.
It did feel like he went to the bullpen, though.
Come on. It's Nick Saban. He planned the whole thing. He planned the whole darn thing.
This is great. We're going to have this discussion all day. 654 roars the number. Also, the refs cheated for Bama again, like over and over again. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, I think the only thing worse than a Georgia win is what happened last night if you're a Clemson fan. We'll explain that later also. Stay with us. Call us 654-ROAR on the Northern Communication phone lines. Health Air text line 986-1566. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you. At Qualk Talk, at Kayla Grammer, at 105 The Roar. All natty all day and little hoops sprinkled in. More to come. Your phone calls after this.
Bill collectors, are they calling, making threats? What is the truth? Don't be afraid. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait for them to sue you. Call me, Robert King. I will listen to you, and together we will look for a calm, clear, thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King at 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the bankruptcy code.
Head to Bojangles for free breakfast biscuit combos for just $4 each.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
You've heard folks talk about the sauce at Joe's New York Pizza. I'm here to tell you it is the sauce that makes the lasagna so great. Believe me, I know lasagna, and Joe's New York Pizza lasagna is my favorite. Their homemade marinara sauce, beef, ricotta, and mozzarella cheese loaded with their special spices. The lasagna at Joe's New York Pizza, which comes with a salad and those famous garlic knots, is where it's at. Seneca or Clemson, make it Joe's New York Pizza for lasagna with the sauce.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent, local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. The South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles is now accepting documents for you to change your current card to a federally approved real ID. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV. Driving privileges and good standing. A regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Trucks cost less than travelers rest. Save up to $11,000 off a new 2018 F-150 4x4 crew cab. Just $38,665 plus tax and tag. And they never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. See the 2018 F-150 at George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less than travelers rest, and they never charge any dealer fees.
Must finance with Ford Motor Credit.
AgPro's inventory clearance event has been extended. Are you ready to save on John Deere? Then you need to get to AgPro before January 31st. You'll find the best prices on the quality equipment you've been wanting at our inventory clearance event. We're equipping you with low, low prices on select John Deere equipment now through January 31st. That's right. The tried and true equipment you know and trust at unbelievable year-end inventory prices. Get to your local AgPro because our closeout prices are only available while supplies last. And visit us at agproco.com.
Where shall we begin?
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Well, what a weird game. But if I told you... What if I told you? If I told you that Alabama would throw the ball 32 times and run at 39... And Georgia would throw it 32 times and run it 45. You'd think we're in an upside down. I mean, 64 total passes in a game. I mean, even an overtime game. 64 passes. I thought for sure somebody's stat line would be like 9 for 14 for 180 and two touchdowns and a pick. I thought for sure this would feel like a Joe Flacco line from week six or something.
Jalen was 3 for 8. If you had told me Jalen Hurts was 3 for 8 for 21 yards in the first half, I would have said, mm-hmm. Okay, what's the score? Bama's down, maybe 3.
Fromm wasn't good in the first half either.
No.
I think combined in, at halftime, the quarterbacks were under 50% for like 80 yards or something.
I still was pretty impressed with Fromm throughout, though.
You know what I thought?
I thought he held his own.
There are people critical in a number of ways at Georgia's play calling. To me, they started the game poorly and they ended the game poorly, but in between, I thought they called the game pretty well. They started the game, the first two drives, didn't they have six passes and no run? I mean, I understand Alabama's defense can put people in the box and at the line of scrimmage, and they try to outnumber you in the box, and they try to make you fearful a run up the middle. You're Georgia. There was a time when I swear you had 13 offensive linemen on the field trying to run the ball off tackle. You just line up and run. If you can't line up and run it at Alabama in critical moments, then you don't deserve to win, because you're not a spread it out, throw it around, chuck the ball team. You're a team that needs to be able to run the ball. And I felt like Georgia abandoned it early and got back to it to help Fromm. And then after, at the end of the game, that series of downs at the end, I thought, I thought for sure Bama was going to win at the end of the game until the kicker missed it, which I have so many questions on that, where it's almost like Bama psyched themselves out. They were playing to the right hash for 100 years. And then all of a sudden they put Hurts in for one final hurrah to put the ball in the middle of the field, even though the guy duck hooked the kick already. I didn't understand it. Put the ball in the right hash, and when he duck hooks it, it bangs off the upright end. That was stupid.
That was ridiculous. But can we just say, have a moment of silence and just be happy for Papanastos?
Yes. I felt terrible
for him. It wasn't on him. Let's just be happy, because that guy's Twitter mentions would have been scary. Let's just put it that way. So I'm happy for him. I really am.
Unbelievable. Let me see this.
Also, if Bama has Rodrigo, they walk away with that one.
How about
that game's
him
over? Rodrigo is a baller.
51 yards or whatever that kick. Wait,
with
that
the
like
goggles.
An NFL kick.
With the goggles. I mean, it just doesn't get better.
The specs save the planet. You know that. So you want to end global warming? Rec specs. That's what we're doing. Three plays and out for Georgia. All passes. And then an interception. It was actually, he was 2 for 3, but they still threw it three times. Then the next drive, they were complete pass for 14, first down. Incomplete pass. Yeah, that's right. Complete pass, incomplete pass. Then incomplete pass, punt. The first seven plays of the game were all passes for Georgia, and then they decided they were going to run it some.
Well, to be fair, the long, on the first drive, was it not? The long ball that Fromm threw that was intercepted, the jump ball?
Yeah, which, by the way, I thought for sure that was, I was like, dude, this is over.
That's
Tony
my point.
Tony Brown just ripped the ball out of the dude's hands.
If Georgia catches that ball, the game looks different. I mean, that was an absolute 50-50 ball, and it was a great throw from Fromm. But I think your point is right, Kwok. It seems like Georgia, down the stretch, abandoned the run. And it's ironic, because we talked about how Oklahoma abandoned the pass down the stretch against Georgia in the Rose Bowl, and then vice versa. Georgia kind of did what Oklahoma did when they played Georgia. So it was actually interesting. And honestly, I feel like last night, both teams abandoned what they did all year anyway, because Bama went with Tua and
right,
changed things up. So
right,
it was almost as if the template and the game plan of what both teams did all year was thrown out the window on both sides. And that's what made for an even more intriguing game. And honestly, too, it felt good to just watch a football game and not be stressed out of your mind. Did that not feel good?
Don't even say that. You know what? I thought about this. I'm already preparing my, boy, it's so much harder to fill out a bracket when Clemson's in it. And like your team not being in it is better than your team being
now,
in
okay,
it.
Look, that's just, of course, you would have preferred to have Clemson there. But that being said, it was kind of nice. It was kind of nice to just sit there and not care who wins and just kind of laugh at everybody, be sad for Georgia. But, I mean, it was just, it felt kind of good, to be honest.
Luke on Twitter says, I felt so bad for Greek McGee. I just called him Papadopoulos because, you know, he's been in the news with the Trump-Russia stuff. He said, no chance I spell his name, because those two field goals were doo-doo soup.
They were terrible.
He wouldn't be allowed in Tuscaloosa if they lose that game.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. They ruined his chance, though. He had just hooked one. The previous field goal attempt he hooked, they had played it for the right hash. Why Saban all of a sudden moved the ball to the... I was like, okay, they're moving to the right hash because he hooked the other one and he's more comfortable from the right. Okay, that's fine. Then he puts Hurts in after they called the timeout. He didn't want him to call timeout. He moves it to the middle of the field. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. I don't understand any of this. I didn't understand anything what I saw last night. Not a one. Let's go to the phones. We got a couple people that have been on hold for a while. Our friend Andrew Whitman joins us right now. Happy and jubilant and joyous occasion in the Whitman house as the tide have rolled once again. What's up, buddy? Long time no talk.
Happy New Year to you guys. That's all. Yeah. Well, first off, I got to say this. So I was texting my Clemson friends last night. And Alabama was the same way. Our national championship game was against Clemson. They had the emotion and the drivers and all the energy for that game. They came out to that game last night. It was like Vern and Gary Daniels should have been calling it on Saturday afternoon. It was like a regular SEC game.
You know what? That's true. And I actually thought about that. Like when Georgia was leading, did Alabama put, you know, contrary to what we generally think about the Saban team, the process, and it doesn't matter who you play and all that, did they put all their eggs in a Clemson basket? That ran through my mind at halftime. And I do think that it was possible that that was the case. And then for them, normally when you get in that frame of mind and you run out of gas and you stay there, and I think, again, that's one of the reasons why Saban just had to say, I don't know what's going to happen. Screw it. I'm putting Tua in, yes, and we'll just see how this rolls, right, and it ended up working out in his favor.
And I'll tell you why you're so, like, right on with that, is if you remember, like, Jalen Hurts had the screensaver of Clemson winning last year.
Yep.
And he's on the field dejected. They said before the game he changed out his screensaver. Now his driver is over, right? So he's gone. He's got nothing left to play for because he won that thing. He accomplished his target. So you got to bring in this kid who's hungry. It's not a revenge game anymore. Revenge is an awful driver. Your driver should be, I'm hungry and I want to perform at my potential. So I think that broke down in the Saban system, that Clemson was the revenge game. That was our national championship. Even as a fan, I felt it. And then you came out this game, we're like, I don't even care about playing this game. You know, that was our national championship. So Clemson, here's the compliment. Clemson is Alabama's Alabama.
Wow. You know what? That's interesting. You're saying that Jalen Hurts, because his driver all year was to beat Clemson and get back to that spot.
Yeah.
Once he did it, that maybe the drivers, I mean, or certainly you want to win, but the driver, the driving force is not there.
Yeah. Right. Why I have to do the hard thing. He's not staying in the pocket. He's not going to get hit. He's just, you know, freezing and you know, throwing it away. And so you got it. So I think, and if you listen at the halftime, Hurts said, that coach came to him, or maybe Tua said, we're going to try and rotate quarterbacks. Saban has no idea how this Tua kid's going to work, but he's just saying, you know, keep doing the same thing over and over again is insanity. They did lose in Auburn. We can't repeat that. So I think to Kelly's point, the reason he didn't put him in is because they never lost before. And so Saban, you've never seen Saban repeat the kick six like they had in Jordan Hare a couple years ago. Like, so he learns from his mistakes.
That's true. I think that's an excellent point, and I didn't even think about that aspect of it. But you're right. When he said rotate quarterbacks, I did wonder if they were just going to kind of float a trial balloon. Let's just see how this works. And it's interesting that he didn't go back with Hurts after the three and out and the interception. He stuck with you would think if they were really going to rotate, that maybe he was given Tua one more shot. Maybe that was the drive. Yeah, third and seven scramble.
Yeah,
he gets the first down.
Yeah, you remember when Hurts made his first play, I guess it was USC, and he fumbled that very first time that Hurts came in, because he came in as a backup too, a freshman, remember? And then he fumbled the ball, and he kept him in and gave him another shot. So we know Saban does that. He gives you enough room to make those, you know, work out those, you know, mistakes, you know, as the first time you're going live. So I think that goes with the Saban pattern, giving them that last chance.
That's a great word right there. How's everything going with Get Warrior Tough, man? I know you've been grinding, really. I mean, I would say this year, but the year just started, and we know the grind started way before that.
Yeah, we're about to launch the new website. Yes. Yeah, we're doing a ton of stuff. Yeah, writing the new book. I'm trying to get that done. Yeah, a lot of press and all. It's fun, man. It's awesome. But I'm glad college football season's over so I can, you know, focus again. Because I'm with Kelly, man. The emotion's just enough already.
Get out of here. Games that don't matter.
It's stressful, people.
The Tide are really good at hoops, though. You might have to watch some Tide hoops. They got the freshman that's dropping 30 on folks. They look pretty good.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
And yeah, they're totally not a basketball school.
You're right about that. Andrew, yeah. Always a pleasure, my friend. Love hanging out with you. Love talking to you and learning from you, gleaning insight. And enjoy this one. I know you're a grinder, but try to enjoy this win for a few minutes, won't you?
Yeah, I will, man. I got to tell you, though, like I said, after the, I was so nervous about the Clemson game. After that one was over, I was like, all right, it's all, the season's over. So this one's okay, but the other one was, you know, the one we were worried about.
It makes sense to me. And if Andrew Wiggins says it's good, then I agree with it.
That's funny. Love you guys.
Hey, love you too, buddy. Hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Andrew Whitman from Get Worked Up. How about that? The driver's gone for Jalen, and Saban goes with Tua. Andrew Whitman's smarter than me. That makes sense.
Is Jalen's screensaver for this whole offseason Tua?
It might be his new jersey for his new team.
Oh.
Let's go to Coach Edge on the phones. Speaking of that, Jacob Eason.
Jacob
Eason.
Our
favorite one-name quarterback going to play soccer on the West Coast.
Soccer?
Well, I mean one name. Coach Edge up with us next.
What?
Coach Edge, what's going on?
Quack, what's going on, bud? I hope y'all are doing well.
Man, we're doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Man, that was a great point. That had never hit, you know, never changed my mind, you know, with all of the, you know, the talk about Alabama losing to Clemson last year and their main motivation, you know, come back this year is to, you know, they passed out pictures of Hunter Renfrow and the screensaver with Jalen Hurts. You know, I never really thought about that, but yeah, maybe he did accomplish what he wanted to accomplish in that bowl, and then maybe, I don't know, maybe wasn't as quite as dialed in or motivated. That was a great point. That was a great point. Hey, but actually, I totally agree with you. You said it earlier before you went to break on the last segment. Yeah, Nick Saban went to the bullpen. He went to the bullpen, and sometimes your bullpen, well, ain't no sometimes. The bullpen's not the guy you start the game with. You get out your starter and you hope to get about six or seven innings, and you know then you bring in your closer. But what I want to ask you is, okay, Hurts started all year, lost last game against Auburn. You know, didn't get injured or anything like that. Don't really see why there was any reason to replace him if you go 11-1. My question is, well, what about Jacob Eason? Jacob Eason doesn't get hurt, and they don't insert Jake Fromm. Do you still think Georgia makes it there?
No, and I don't think it has anything to do with Eason or Fromm, and I actually said this last night. It was just a response that the team had. They just responded better. Even in the App State game, you could feel it. You know, he throw like five or six? I mean, he didn't throw the ball 30 times. It wasn't like you saw it. Like last night, too, where there's a tangible difference. To me, Fromm, the first half of the year, all he did was turn around and hand it off. But you could sense that the offense felt different than it ever did with Eason at quarterback. And so that's why you got to keep Fromm in there.
I would agree. And let me ask you this, too. I got a question for you. Is there a rule with other colleges contacting players that play for other colleges? Is there a rule on that?
Yeah, that's a tampering thing. That'd be against the rules right there.
Okay, well, I have to be sure they're going to try next year to go start anywhere in the nation. I got Jake Mason. Of course, you said, what did you say he was going to do? He was going to go do what?
Oh, I said play soccer on the West Coast, but he's going to Washington, we think. He's going out there to play. That's what they're saying. Barring some unforeseen change in developments, he's going to go play at Washington, transfer out there.
He's from Washington State, Coach.
Yeah, he's from Washington.
Correct.
I think we're losing Coach Edge. I think we're losing him.
Don't lose me.
My bad. Okay, we got you back. I was about to drop you. We got you back. Can you say that question one more time? And we got to run.
All right, Jalen Hurts. Does he stay or does he leave? Because I clearly think he lost his job last night.
Yeah, I think Tua is your quarterback going forward. Edge, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Sorry we had connection issues there for a minute. I think that Hurts is going to stay. I'll joke about it, but I think he's going to stay. He feels like a little bit of a culture guy. And I also think that Alabama's proven they can win with him. So I don't think he's just going to abandon ship. I think he's going to compete with Tua in the spring and in the summer and fall camp. I think he's going to see if he wins or loses a job. I don't think you start for 14 games and get replaced at halftime of the Natty and then, or start for 15 games, should say. Well, 14 in their case because they didn't play the 13th game. They got a bye through the conference championship, which I'm still going to be salty about. But they were able to win with him, and so I don't think you just abandon ship because the guy had a good half in his mind.
I think Jalen will make a great tight end.
You just hate all running quarterbacks. Kelly Grambling hates all running quarterbacks, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I don't. That's I don't.
Lamar Jackson going to be a great wideout. I mean, can he play safety? Can he play safety? Jalen Hurts going to be a nice tight end.
In all seriousness, you're right. I think Jalen does stay.
Tim Tebow's a super H-back.
He stays, well, look good in the NFL. He stays, at least for the foreseeable future. If we hear Jalen Hurts is transferring... Maybe after the mat drills or something.
It won't be right now.
Then I wouldn't be surprised. But as of now, he's staying. Because in the end, like with how good Tua was, it still was just one half. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure, but I don't think he's leaving right away like Jacob Eason is.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that Jalen Hurts, because everybody knew that Tua was the best quarterback the whole year. I'm shocked he didn't leave in September. Shocked he didn't transfer before the year started. Everybody knew Tua was better. Anyway.
We'll get to the phones in our next segment.
Hang on if you're on the phone. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
January is ACC basketball time. The Clemson Tigers take on NC State for the second time this season on Thursday night in Raleigh. Tune in as Clemson looks to go undefeated against the Wolfpack this season. Pre-game begins at 8:30 p.m. with a 9 p.m. tip-off on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
If you have problems with the IRS, don't trust your personal information to a stranger on the other end of a 1-800 number. The Green Law Firm is local and looking out for you. For a free strategy session, call 271-7940.
So many cool cars and trucks you won't want to blink.
It's the South Carolina International Auto Show.
Presented by Motor Trend.
It all happens January 12th through the 14th at the TD Convention Center. Come see hundreds of the hottest new cars, new trucks, SUVs, luxury vehicles, classics, and a lot more. Test drive over 20 models right at the show. Bring the whole family. Kids 12 and under get in free every day. It's the South Carolina International Auto Show.
January 12th through the 14th.
Discounts available at the UPS store, Spinx, or go to SouthCarolinaAutoShow.com.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Grab a two-piece dinner combo that includes leg and thigh, your choice of fixin', a biscuit, and a drink. Just $5 for a limited time. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
At last, the new year is here. What do you see ahead? Happy days and carefree nights?
Credit card bills?
Right, credit card bills.
Looking at months of high-interest credit card bills from all that generous holiday gift giving? Time to go to Lightstream and get a low-interest rate credit card consolidation loan. Act now to get an even lower rate with our special radio listener discount. Go to lightstream.com/sports to get rates as low as 5.39% APR with AutoPay. And with average interest rates on credit cards at 17% APR, Lightstream could save you thousands of dollars in interest. Makes the new year a whole lot brighter, doesn't it? The application takes minutes online. There are no fees, and you can have funds as soon as today. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount at lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. Lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same day funding.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young thing. You need some loving. TLC. Tender love and care. And I'll dig it there. Girl. I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young thing. You need some loving. TLC. Tender love and care. And I'll dig it there.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Going back to the phones in a moment. If you had told me that one team would have 365 yards of offense last night, and that would be the lower of the totals, I would have said, you're, again, not so crazy town. There's no reason in the world to think that ain't either offense going to move the ball like that. The first half was fun for me in that I like predictability because there was no reason. Y'all just going to dance through the whole thing. Kelly's legitimately got her back to me.
We're ready.
I didn't expect that.
Sanders and I just had a moment.
Today.
I'm very sorry.
But honestly, like I just rolled in the studio and I was just like, I'm doing a show in sunglasses today.
Yeah, you've kept your sunglasses on this whole first hour and I'm not quite sure what's happening.
You said it was a good look, so
well,
I stayed with it.
Did I, though?
You did. I mean, that was the actual quote. Quark, I think the sunglasses are a good look. That's your actual quote.
Let's bring in fashion consultant and pop culture guru, Sanders Sullivan.
Are you liking the stunner shades in the studio today?
I'm loving it.
You loving it? Why are you loving it? What specifically are you loving about it?
It fits your persona of what you're vibing with today.
I appreciate
that. What is Quark vibing with today?
I don't know. Quality.
Saltiness?
There's a little salt in it.
I'm salty too.
His shades on his face kind of reflect what his Twitter game was like last night. Some shade.
I see what you did there, Sandy.
I mean, the best tweet. I had some of the best tweets last night. I mean, really good. Thank you. I was called on Twitter last night. I was called Lot's wife on Twitter by someone.
I read your
mention. Someone
mentions.
Got biblical on you?
You read my mention? Yeah. Somebody called me Lot's wife. I had a Tennessee fan that was like, oh, enjoy the couch. And you know the episode of The Office, have you gotten there, where they're trying to roast Michael, and Dwight sticks up for him, and Michael's like, idiot, sit down, idiot. And Dwight's like, really? You calling me an idiot? You don't have any friends or any kids or any land.
Any land.
And he just yells at him and like eviscerates him like 6 seconds and then sits down. That's what I felt like when the Tennessee fan came at me like, oh, well, enjoy the couch here, bucko. Oh, really? When's the last time you won 7 ball games, Tennessee? You gotta come at me like that. Your couch has indentions, buddy. You've been sitting there since 06, pal. I yelled at the guy. So anyway, I did that. Lot's wife was funny. Like, I laughed at that. That I was so salty, it was like, Lot's wife. If you don't know, look up, that story's in Genesis. You can read that one in Genesis.
Reference Genesis.
It's like Genesis 20 or something.
Quack. There've been a few times that you've come into the station and you've talked about how good your Twitter game is.
Yeah.
it's interesting because did you feel like it was that good?
Yeah, it was pretty good last night.
Okay. All right. I'm just gonna let it ride.
The tweets were
people can find out for themselves. Go check it out.
Much like Saban, I had to throw the playbook out when Alabama decided they wanted to score and play offense.
You had to throw the Twitter playbook out?
Yeah, I had to throw it out. So I went with the one, a two, a three, a punt, and a three and out.
That was probably one of my favorites. Yeah. Until Tua started slinging touchdowns, then it kind of didn't look good.
The Jalen Hurts, this is going to really mess up. Jalen Hurts, carefully crafted throwaway to completion ratio. He's been working on all night long.
Here's my question. Let's just put our cards on the table. You and I had competing watch parties last night.
We did. And we didn't know that. We set them up separately and didn't know. And we're planning to invite the other one, both of us.
But we're good. We're good. I mean, everything's fine.
I'm down with it.
I just don't understand how you talked to anybody at your house last night when you tweeted 75 times during the game.
We had a great discussion.
I just don't understand how you talk to people.
We all tweeted. Many of them liked and retweeted my tweets as well.
Okay, so it was a good time.
That's right.
Can we just, for the record, Sanders, which watch party did you choose to attend?
I went to Kelly's house.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones.
Did she have enough chairs?
You know, she did. She also had some DiGiorno.
Quag, I've added some chairs, so we're good now.
Okay.
It used to be, if you want to come to my house, it used to be BYOC.
You're like, hey, there's going to be 4 people at my house, and I only have 2 chairs, so can you guys bring your own chair? Zach and I brought lawn chairs.
BYOC. Bring your own chair.
What was that even for? I can't even remember.
ESPYs.
ESPYs, that's what it was. And then Kelly was like, all right, y'all got to go. Like, you're in the ESPYs.
It hit about 10:30. All right.
Did she kick y'all out at halftime? Because that's what she did in the ESPYs. It was like 9:45. She's like, all right, I got to go to bed. Y'all got to leave.
No, we were in it for the long haul last night.
Whole game.
I went to bed. It's a big number. It was a crooked number. I was kind of jacked at the end of that game. True story. Andrew is up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Andrew?
Cool, no. How y'all doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Well, I'm about to go back kind of to the first segment because there's a lot of that's what most of the topics were. And one of the things is I have to disagree a little bit, Quark. I kind of agreed with what Georgia game plan was at the beginning because it kind of kept Alabama, you know, they had them guessing a lot. And they, even though it was successful, they had two possessions where they had to punt. It kind of opened things up where Alabama didn't quite know exactly what they was going to do. And the thing that they did abandon at the end of the game, though, was Sony Michel. Like, man, he was killing Alabama in the first half. And where was he in the second half? Like, they didn't try to get him the ball on the edge or anything. Like, they just abandoned Sony Michel really bad.
There was no need for Nick Chubb in a game, honestly. Chubb carried it 18 times for 25 yards, and there was no need for it. I don't know how he carried it that many times. To me, the game was a Michelle, Swift, Hardman game. It was not a Chubb game. Chubb ended up carrying it 18. Those other guys combined 20 times. I agree with that. That would be my issue there, that Georgia didn't utilize Michelle and then Swift and Hardman on the edge a little bit more and a little more creatively to take some heat off of Fromm. Because, frankly, we say a lot of nice stuff about Fromm. Here's what he did last night. 16 to 32, 232, a touchdown, two picks. He did not set the – he didn't have a bad game, but he didn't set the world on fire last night, and they needed a run game to help offset some of that. And I think – again, I think some of the play calling got a little bit vanilla in the game when they went into protect the lead mode instead of win the game mode, and that allowed Alabama to come back.
Absolutely correct. And on the whole Saban thing, like I think the past – especially this season, but the past two seasons, I think at some point this season, Nick knew that – he was going to have to go to Tua. And he just said, you know, I know everybody's sad, but he should have did it in the Auburn game. But, I mean, you know, he knew he was going to get on ESPN and cry and get himself back in the playoffs. So he knew that at some point he was going to need Tua. And last night was just the night. And Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's going to leave. But I'm kind of got to go with Kelly. Not tight end, but I could see him being a wide receiver.
I do think he could be a wideout. I do think that's true.
Yeah, I see him going through the spring, you know, with the competition there, enough time for them to get a recruit in there and go through the spring, and then by the time fall camp rolls around, I can see him sliding them in at receiver kind of like Clemson did with Ray this year with him being, you know, receiver cornerback. And then the last thing I'm going to say, then I'm going to get off the air, is what's up with the officials? Are they scared to throw the flags on Nick Saban? Are they afraid of coaches? Like, I mean, it's like New England Patriots in the NFL get the same treatment. Duke and college basketball get the same treatment. Like, are they scared to, you know, call fouls, throw flags on these coaches? Because you have guys out there throwing punches, punching the quarterback in the head when he's getting above the ground. And they didn't throw, I mean, and then the one flag that they threw on the punch, I mean, how is that not reviewable? They reviewed everything that Georgia did, whether he stepped out of bounds on the 80-yard touchdown catch or Sonny Michel stepped out of bounds. But they had, here's a play that they actually threw a flag on, and we can't get a review on the kid punching him in the face. That should have been an ejection. And I'll take your comments up there.
Thanks very much, Andrew. We appreciate it. And we don't have enough time to get more callers, but we're going to get to you, I promise. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to you in the next segment. We got open lines all day. You got a couple lines to get in. 654 Roar is the number. I want to close out the hour with this because it's interesting. I don't know about throwing flags on coaches or any of that mess, but I think it is clear, and we can say this outside the context that I thought Alabama deserved to win a game, and frankly, I thought both teams did things down the stretch that deserved to lose a game. If you don't run the ball on first and 10 with less than 4 minutes left and your identity is run and you've got a team, well, you've got a freshman quarterback and you've run it for 100 and whatever yards in a game, like you need to run the ball one time. For Georgia not to run it at least once in that final series of downs before they punted back to Alabama was ludicrous. And then for Bama to move the ball off the right hash for a kicker that hooked one left also was a cause to lose the game. So both teams did that. I do think Alabama proved itself because of the gutsy move to go with Tua in the second half. I think Alabama was a deserving champion. But it is clear to me that the officials are not going to allow Alabama to lose without a fight. Like, it's clear to me. Like, that, who hits harder than Alabama? Does any team in America hit harder than Alabama? Do they ever get a targeting call, ever? There were like four times last night where there's plays that you or me or whatever team you root for, if it's not Alabama, would have had to sit through a review about targeting that Alabama just didn't. I mean, they just don't get called for it. You got the offsides on the block punt where the dude jumps. On the touchdown pass from Tua, the guy on the bottom of your screen jumps a half second early. Should have been a false start. You got holding calls that aren't called. Pass interferences that go always Alabama's way. Reviews always go their way. I know Georgia fans are mad about the interception in the back of the end zone. Me and my dad, my brother actually had a conversation about that. I don't think it was intercepted. He's clearly not having control when he's up in the air.
He did not have control of the ball.
And you know me, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to anybody who's trying to make a catch because nobody knows what a catch is in football today, and it's sad. We should do away with replay and just ask that 8-year-old over there, was it a catch? If he says yes, it was a catch. If he says no, then it wasn't a catch. We should ask that 8-year-old. But I swear to you, the officials are not going to let Alabama lose any game without putting up a fight. They are going to basically cheat for Alabama. Like, that's going to happen.
I don't feel as passionately about this as you do.
Oh, my God. They target every game. They never get ejected.
You have a right to feel that way. I don't think the officials really did anything to decide that game last night.
The sideline interference penalty? What was
that? Well, that was a little ridiculous.
Come on.
But that didn't decide the game. The touchdown still counted.
No, but still, that's ridiculous.